Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to another episode of Real Science Friday. I'm Bob Enyart.
And I'm Doug McBurney. And I'm not really sure why I'm here, Bob.
What in the world are you doing here, Doug? It should be Fred Williams in that chair.
I know. And isn't he a scientist?
Well, he's an engineer and a creation speaker, but you're not an engineer.
I barely made it out of high school, Bob. I hope I can keep up.
What are you doing here on Real Science Friday?
Well, you sent me this link to this new website.
To preview a launch of a new site.
And it's too exciting for me not to sit down and go through this with you because this is what a guy like me, who barely made it through high school, has always needed. A resource that I can go to.
This is a fun website, isn't it?
Yeah, it's called youngearth.org.
Youngearth.org. And Doug, we're getting wonderful comments from people within the industry, within the Young Earth creation movement, thanking us for putting up this site. They're excited about it. And it is a very concise site. Doug, there's 7 lines of evidence, and of course we could add to that. And each line has about 3 items of evidence that the Earth is young. It's thousands of years old, not millions. And perhaps you and I could go through some of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And one of the lines, the 7, by the way, and I like 7. I think you keep it at
Maybe
7.
Maybe we keep it at 7 lines of evidence.
It's pretty good. Universe and galaxies is one of the lines, and you've got 3 items in there now, star clusters and missing supernovas.
Supernova remnants. And really neat stuff.
The galaxy spirals. We'll get into more of this. But on the subject of the universe, I saw an interview with a gentleman who has written a book called A Universe from Nothing.
That's Lawrence Krauss.
Should we even mention his name?
Well, sure.
Okay, we'll mention his name.
He's very well known.
I think he's some kind of scientist.
Yeah, and he's...
Yeah. He's a quantum mechanic, physicist, atheist, pothead.
So you saw... No.
Well, I don't know if he's a pothead right now, but he did admit to smoking marijuana in the interview. Not during the interview.
Did he inhale?
The way he said it, it didn't come off as once.
It does affect... You know, Doug, when we debate evolutionists,
sometimes
you think, why can't they think? But then, if you don't believe in God, there's no right and wrong. You make up your own morality. Yeah. Why not get drunk whenever you want? Why not get high whenever you want? And I think, I'd like to ask Aaron Ra, for example.
Yeah.
Is he in favor of legalizing marijuana?
Odds are he is.
When people simply can't think, part of it could be they're sinning and it's pride and rebellion.
Right.
And the other part could very well be that they simply can't think because they fried their brain.
Hmm. Well, Mr. Krauss,
not their entire brain, and he's obviously a sharp
now,
guy.
Listen, he's a renowned cosmologist.
Yeah.
Right?
There's evidence there.
He's a professor at Arizona State University.
Right. I attended there, studied.
But got bored and you left after a short period of time. I remember. I've heard the story.
Studied artificial intelligence. That you might as well have been.
Well, there you were in the right place.
Just to study that.
Arizona State University.
Yeah.
I'm trying to see. I'm sure he holds a PhD or so. Yes, yes, indeed.
But
Yale,
so his
Harvard,
book,
MIT, 1980, PhD in physics.
So his book is The Universe from Nothing.
I haven't read it, but I just got it.
Now, so you're going to read it?
I saw the interview.
Could I read it?
You must read it, Bob. I would like you to interview Mr. Krauss if that's possible. I'll even try to get a hold of him myself.
Sure thing. That'd be
Lawrence
fun.
Krauss, PhD from...
Let's do it.
From wherever there.
Doug, let's do it. We've got 50,000 watts here in Denver, and generally that makes it somewhat easy to get celebrities, authors, well-known people to agree to an interview.
Yeah.
Because this is Colorado's most powerful radio station.
It sure is.
And we've been on for
50,000 watts,
22 years, so we're a known entity, especially in the area of creation, evolution, the Big Bang. So his universe from nothing. Let's do it.
The jacket says he's an internationally known theoretical physicist.
Yeah.
And he has a special interest in elementary particle physics.
So he has to have some remaining brain cells.
Obviously has some functioning synapses still going on in his brain. Pretty smart fellow.
So, okay.
But he claims the title of the book implies that it's
a
completely plausible
from nothing.
That the universe came from nothing. And in the interview, he said it was inevitable.
It's inevitable. Of course it's inevitable.
If you have nothing, it's inevitable that a universe will come from.
It is inevitable. Doug, when they study the genome, the genetics of bats and whales, both doing echolocation.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And they found out that this significant string of amino acids on the DNA of the bat and the whale are identical. And they say there's no common ancestor. There's no common descent that gave them both echolocation. They both individually evolved it. And not only did they evolve the ability to echolocate, which they call convergence, but lo and behold, the code, the software for, you know, an illustration, for an analogy, the code is identical for a significant part of the ability to echolocate.
Interesting.
Identical. So how could it be identical? I mean, that would be like Apple. That'd be like Apple and Microsoft writing identical code to do some function like how to read your keyboard.
Yeah, that's unlikely.
There have been lawsuits based on things like that. Look at the code, and if the code is identical, one company says they stole it from us because there's no way it's going to be identical.
Sounds like there'd be one author behind that code.
Right.
Right?
Exactly.
That's what I would think.
Exactly. And so they say, well, of course they're identical. Of course. Why wouldn't they be identical? Natural selection not only would create echolocation, but it would make it identical.
Well, that's almost as ridiculous as positing the idea that the universe had to come from nothing.
Of course it was inevitable.
It was bound to happen.
It's inevitable.
Yeah, there was nothing and it exploded.
Okay, so let's try to interview Krauss.
We'll try to get a hold of Mr. Krauss. Get his email over there at Harvard or MIT or...
It doesn't sound like a sturdy book to me.
It's not that thick of a book.
It doesn't sound reliable.
It's thinner than I would
have imagined. Notice usually there's a nice deep thud when we do a pro-life book.
Yeah,
this title.
Yeah, that
it sounds shaky to me.
Yeah.
All right. We'll find out.
All right. I'll try to get a hold of Mr. Krauss. But let's go back to youngearth.org. Folks, if you're listening on your computer, if you're on the radio and you're listening now, grab your computer, go to youngearth.org. It's visually stunning.
Yeah.
Very well done.
It is pretty, right? Cheryl, my wife, Cheryl said, you know, you feel like you're up in space, you're on a satellite, and you're looking at the Earth, and in front of the Earth is all the evidence.
I love it. It's gorgeous.
And so why don't we go through some of these, Doug?
All right. You want to start with the first line?
The rapid formation, because that's one line of evidence. Then there's the universe and galaxies and polystrate fossils, dinosaur soft tissue, all that kind of stuff, right? And so the very first item, rapid formation, what is the first of the three items on that line of evidence?
It says the Surtsey Island in Iceland forms million-year features in 10 years.
In 10 years.
Now, so, how does that work?
This is good because island, it looks ancient. Now, we have this from New Scientist in 2007.
Okay.
But then go back some years to the chief geologist, the official geologist of Iceland.
Okay.
And this island was formed by a volcanic eruption in the Atlantic Ocean in 1963.
Wow.
And over the coming months and years, Doug, it is so exciting what they found out. They found out that things that they were told would take millions of years, thousands and millions of years to form, were created in less than a decade.
Yeah, canyons and gullies and other land features.
Yeah.
Geographers normally would associate with long periods of evolutionary time.
Exactly. So
geologic time.
Yeah, so Iceland's official geologist, he said that the landscape that has been formed is so varied and mature that it was almost beyond belief. Doug, he said the island, this island of Surtsey, has wide sandy beaches, precipitous crags, gravel banks, lagoons, impressive cliffs, hollows, glens, soft undulating land, fractures, fault scarps, and screes.
Screes, even.
I remember screes from, you remember we used to hike the 14ers in Colorado?
Oh, yeah.
14,000 foot. We'd have to go across the scree.
Across the scree.
Field.
Scree
all the
field.
Rocks of a certain size.
Right.
And channels, he said. And so he said, and boulders worn soft by the waves, some of which were almost round. So he said the things that we were taught would take thousands or millions of years happen in months.
And what's really cool is that for a very simplistic fellow like myself, we can go back to 1963. We don't even have to have like microfiche. You can find it on the internet now.
Right.
We know that we can actually refer to this,
this
date
island.
And time.
And so this argument doesn't mean that there are not other islands that are older, like Hawaii, formed before 1963.
As far as I know, yes. In fact, it became a state in 1959, so it had to have been at least since 59.
Right.
Right?
So there are islands that are older, but what this does is it undermines the argument used by old earthers. And, Doug, they had to have used this argument millions of times.
Oh, absolutely.
They would point to some feature, like we just described on Surtsey, and they would say, that takes a million years to form.
Yeah. Right.
And so now there is hard evidence, there's photographic evidence that those same features could form in days and months and years.
Amazing.
That they don't need millions of years or geologic epochs to form. So that's an example of the kind of information you find at youngearth.org, and that's very succinct. Pretty pictures, diagrams.
Yep, beautiful pictures of Surtsey.
Maps,
I wouldn't mind visiting it. It's
right?
Probably cold, but.
Yeah, and you can't get there.
You can't get there from there. Huh?
A couple kids visited back before they made it forbidden land.
Oh, it's forbidden.
Only available to a few scientists in the entire world.
Huh.
A couple kids went with some scientists, and they thought it would be fun to plant some potatoes.
Okay.
And scientists are trying to find out how would it develop without man's intervention, which is great for us young earth creationists.
Yeah.
Because it's developing very well, thank
Should
you.
Should be pretty good to watch.
So they went back and they dug up the potatoes, removed them.
Okay.
But then, Doug, this is a little gross to say on air.
All right. Well, lay it on me.
But one of the official scientists had to.
Well, that happens.
You know, he was there overnight.
Sure.
And he just had to.
Nature called at some point.
And the next season, there were tomato plants. So they had to, so they removed the tomato plants.
Now, is that different than a carbon footprint? You'd have to think of a different term.
It's a sauce thing. It's a tomato sauce footprint.
It's definitely an impact. Anyway, that's hilarious, actually.
Yeah, it's the impactor that wiped out the
But
dinosaurs.
That is, it is... First of all, you got beautiful pictures. You've got a map so that people who doubt that reality, if reality is real, which there's lots of those.
Yes.
You could actually go to a map and you could look and see that Surtsey actually exists.
So, yes, it's there. And these formations, geologic formations, occurred within months, not millions of years. And you have new scientists, their article in 2007, relatively recent, and go back to the chief geologist of Iceland, and they're saying the same thing. This is blowing our mind.
Wow.
So that's fun.
And you don't need a PhD from MIT to understand what's happening here.
Right.
Although, this is the kind of thing that people with PhDs from MIT find compelling.
Like Krauss?
Like, well, Krauss would find this compelling, I'm sure.
Yeah, he would completely ignore this.
Well, no.
He'd completely reject the significance.
Let's get him in the studio. We're going to have to get him on the radio and find out what Mr.
Krauss
thinks.
Okay, the next item.
So, Surtsey, beautiful.
The first line of evidence, rapid formation. What's the next?
Rapid manganese nodule formation around beer cans.
Manganese nodule. Doug, these nodules, we have a picture of what they look like on the bottom of the sea.
Yeah,
there are millions of them in the bottom of the sea.
Wow.
And they're little balls of iron.
Okay.
They're very heavy.
Yeah.
They're said to form that one of these would take about a million years to form.
Okay, that sounds completely reasonable from a secular, viewpoint.
They say, in fact, it's one
years.
Of the slowest of all geological processes.
Huh.
We got this not only, of course, from Wikipedia, but from Texas A&M Marine Sciences. And, you know, every atheist in the world says that manganese nodules take a million years to form, except the ones that formed around beer cans.
Well, now, I've heard that beer goes back to ancient Egypt, but is that even a million years? That's not even a million years, is it?
No. Isn't there a beer can running for Congress here in Colorado? A beer?
Joe Coors.
Oh, he said he's not a beer.
He said he's not a beer.
A beer.
I want to get a T-shirt for Joe Coors with a picture of an unborn child on it and have it say, I'm not a blob of tissue.
I'm not a blob.
Have Mr. Coors
really good.
Wear that to his next
Joe Coors,
campaign.
By all accounts, he's pro-life, but he needs to be courageous
he
and say that the baby is a person, right? There's no longer the time to hide. You just can't hide from that any longer.
Now, that's a great point. I don't want to get off subject here, but I think that's a great point that it's time for these folks who want to be our political leaders.
Right.
To stand
can't
up,
hide anymore.
No, stand up boldly for the fundamental rights that undergird everything else, one of those being the right to life.
Because the conservative pro-life Republicans, when they run for office, they look at you and they wink and they say, I'm pro-life, but let's not tell anybody so I can get elected. Well, we've elected 10,000 Republicans like that, and it's been completely a waste of time.
Yeah.
So we need those candidates to be courageous, to be bold, not to be afraid. And it really doesn't matter whether they win or lose. I hate to break it to those guys.
No, it really doesn't.
Because 10,000 of them have won. It's completely worthless.
Doesn't matter.
What matters is that they have courage to tell the truth.
Yes.
So anyway, how do we get onto beer?
I got beer cans
and
manganese
nodules.
We got into Joe Coors, but we're back now to youngearth.org.
So we show a World Almanac documentary.
And you've got the links to the evolutionary claims surrounding the development of manganese nodules.
Right, that it'd take a million years. And then there is marine geologist Dr. John Yates, who is shown in this documentary. It's a video documentary by World Almanac, published by them. And it's The Universe Beneath the Sea. And he says that, well, some manganese nodules formed around beer cans. So that sort of puts a monkey wrench into the theory that they have to form slowly.
Right.
So that maybe they form within the time frame of the production of beer cans.
Yeah, which, I mean, like 100 years, maybe?
Yeah, 100 years or so.
100 years or so.
Yeah. And so we have, it's sort of like the Coca-Cola bottling company, you know? Yeah. That was the number one most brilliant marketing move in the history of the world, was to bottle Coca-Cola.
Pretty smart, because they didn't do that at first.
No.
They only served it at soda jerks and fountains, and you had to get it in a glass.
Go up to the counter, and then they bottled it, and you could bring it home. Well, then they thought, you know, we could put beer in a can.
That's right.
And Coors was born. Then it ran for office. So, Doug, since we have manganese nodules forming quickly, it doesn't mean that every manganese nodule is younger than Adolf Coors, first.
No, not necessarily. That's
some
not what we're saying.
Some could predate Adolf Coors.
Sure.
But it means that when they've used this argument a million times that we know these things must be millions of years old, it means that the argument is not necessarily ironclad
because
they could form rapidly.
And there certainly is credible evidence mitigating against that position of millions of years. This is credible. This is credible evidence.
Right. Okay.
If it's real.
And
we'll talk about that later when Mr. Krause comes on the air, because he's not sure anything.
You mean
is
if
real.
The universe is real?
I don't know. Is his PhD from
Harvard
real?
Are manganese nodules real?
Are they?
Does Surtsey Island exist?
Maybe only in this
the
reality.
The only thing that actually is real to many atheists is Darwinism.
That's the only
Nothing thing. Else is real. Everything else is an illusion, but Darwinism explains it.
You can question everything. You can even question the existence of beer cans and the manganese nodules surrounding them, but not
So this
Darwin.
Is our line of evidence from rapid formation.
Right. And finally, in the rapid formation line, millions of nautiloids prove rapid limestone formation.
Okay, at the Grand Canyon.
I'm going to need some help with that. What's a nautiloid first? Let me click the link.
That'll help. You'll see a nautiloid. You'll see what it looks like.
Oh,
it looks
those are cool.
You ever get an ice cream cone? You get it for your kids?
Yep.
Not the waffle kind, the conical-shaped kind.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why we call it a cone, right? And imagine getting an ice cream cone with a squid in it.
Okay.
With his tentacles sticking up out of the top.
They have those in Japan. You can get those in Japan right on the street.
All right. Yeah. I believe that. You've been there. So imagine millions of nautiloid fossils in one limestone layer at the Grand Canyon.
Okay.
And, Doug, this is fun because the way that the atheists say a limestone layer forms. Now, these nautiloids, some are small. Many of them are as big as your arm.
Okay.
So they're small to big.
All right.
They say that limestone forms typically in a shallow placid sea.
That reminds me just like my eighth grade science teacher.
Over millions of years, gradually, with the calcium being deposited as shellfish live and die.
Right, right.
So if that were true, it would build up like a tiny little layer every 100 years.
Sure.
Like what? A millimeter or less.
Right.
And it would take a million years to get 7 feet or so. Mm-hmm. Well, it turns out that at the Grand Canyon, there is one nautiloid fossil every square meter as far as has been measured so far.
Wow.
That's a lot of nautiloids.
Yeah. That's a huge number of nautiloids.
Yeah, because the Grand Canyon is 277 miles long.
Yeah.
And that limestone layer is wide. In fact, it goes right onto the strip in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Mike Thiemann.
It goes all the way, huh?
All the way.
Oh, you're not making that up?
No.
Okay.
Mike Thiemann.
And he should know.
Who's our friend in Las Vegas. We got to ask, Mike, will you go down to the strip? Part of this limestone layer is exposed.
Wow.
Because of the way they did the construction. You can just see it looks like rock. It's the limestone layer.
Wow.
And when you look at it, you could see the nautiloids there.
Cool.
On the strip in Las Vegas.
All right. Next time I'm out there, I'm going to confirm. Me and Thiemann will go on a little expedition.
Okay.
We'll look for this limestone layer right there in Vegas.
Yeah. So you'll take an expedition. And Doug, what this means is that if a shallow placid sea is how this limestone layer formed, which is what the atheists insist on, then as these nautiloids died and fell to the bottom of that sea, it would take hundreds of years, if not thousands, for one of them to be covered up.
And they'd have to be covered up in order to fossilize because that's
they decompose.
Right, and it's all replaced with
minerals.
They
get eaten
by
other creatures, including by microbes.
So how does a nautiloid last through the first couple, three layers?
And Doug, there'd be scavenger marks on the nautiloid.
That's right. Other hungry animals would come along and eat them out of that placid pool.
Yes. So they're not there. All those indications are not there. These are entirely encased nautiloids.
Intact, fully intact.
Right.
And we're completely encased in whatever form this limestone.
This limestone. Yeah. So in 15%, now I held this back.
What do you got?
15% of these nautiloids are standing vertically.
Uh-oh. That adds how many millions of years? How many more millions?
And they're standing on their heads. So you've got about a million nautiloids that died standing on their heads for hundreds of thousands of years as they were buried in a shallow placid sea. So that's it's untenable. This is hard evidence that this limestone layer at the base of the Grand Canyon was formed rapidly. This was an undersea slurry. You know, at Mount St. Helens, it had this pyroclastic flow.
Yeah.
Well, things like that happen beneath the sea also. Mm. So underwater, there was this flow, rapid flow of mostly mud.
Yeah.
This material, actually, that made this limestone layer, mixed in with nautiloids and many other creatures that were all killed catastrophically. They all died catastrophically, and so it wasn't over a million years. It happened very rapidly.
So now, if it was a catastrophic situation, then you could explain the nautiloid standing on his head because it happened quickly.
Right, and they weren't able to fall over based on gravity.
Right, gravity wasn't able to just carry them over.
Because they just ended up in whatever position when the flow stopped, and they were in this such a position, and that was it. And by the way, there's a general orientation to these nautiloids, and it's not bisexual. Okay. There's a general orientation.
I didn't even see that one coming.
And it shows us the general flow of this
kind
slurry.
Of which direction the slurry flow was happening.
That's all hard science. The National Park Service officials have asked Dr. Stephen Austin to present this information to their national park rangers so that they have a better understanding of the geology of the canyon. And that's all great. He's famous because of his work at Mount St. Helens.
Yes, and you know, being a park ranger, that's a very important job because you're teaching little kids who don't know any better.
Yeah.
And so if I were to take that job, I would want to make sure I had my facts right because I've read the Bible and I know God really puts a lot of emphasis on what we teach young children.
Yes.
And misleading them, God really, really hates that.
Yeah, right.
And so all the park rangers, they should just check themselves and understand what a big job they've been given and tremendous
responsibility.
That's
evidence that layer, that's evidence that that layer was formed rapidly, not over a million years or millions, because at some points that limestone layer, which is on average 7 feet, is 50 feet or more, or maybe it goes beyond 100 feet in thickness. So that means that whole layer was formed rapidly, that whole layer.
Yeah.
And so if that layer was formed rapidly, how about some of the other layers?
How about
that? Boy, is there evidence for that.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Doug, the next line of evidence, we're almost out of time.
Oh, universe and galaxies.
Yeah. So this is fun. There's three items under this category of universe and galaxies. And the first one has to do with the bulge in the middle of the spiral galaxies.
Yeah, what's up with that bulge?
Well, it turns out that based on the Big Bang, the prediction for decades was that the bulge was the result of billions of years of stars colliding.
Okay.
So it's like a multi-car wreck on the highway.
Like a demolition derby that's been going on for billions of years.
So that's why the bulge is there. Well, it turns out, and it's always this way, right? Well, it turns out cosmologist John Cormandy, he probably knows Lawrence Krauss, Cormandy says that, you know what? We studied these bulges, and it was something of a shock.
What? Another shock?
Another shock. He says they look rather too perfect.
Uh-huh.
They said, this is a cosmologist at Princeton University, Jim Peebles. He said it's really an embarrassment.
Ooh.
And why is it an embarrassment? Because the bulge looks perfect. The stars in the bulge, they don't look like they result from collisions. They look perfect.
It's almost as if a really talented artistic being actually made it to look really beautiful.
Yeah.
it's almost like that.
In fact, it's exactly like that. So the question is, Lawrence Krauss, does he exist?
That may be the crux of the interview if we can get him on the air.
If we could get him, I might have to start by asking if he exists.
Yes.
And if he knows that he exists.
I think he would equivocate on that and say that he has to study it further. YoungEarth.org, Bob. I'm very excited because, you know, I've been talking to my heathen bass player friend from 20 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And the one thing we got into it over was the Young Earth thing. And now I'm just going to send him a link and say, I'm sorry I sent you 12 links last time. Here's one link.
One.
If you have the nerve, just look at one of them.
YoungEarth.org.
And you should do it too, folks. Go to YoungEarth.org. Bob, let's go through the sites some more on another show.
Will do. God bless you, Doug McBurney, and you and the audience. Hey, and check out RealScienceFriday.com in our store. Will help us stay on the air. God bless you. Hi, this is Bob Enyart with Real Science Friday. You can get great science materials from us, DVDs, debates, books, all from our website, kgov.com, or by calling us 1-800-8-ENYART. DVDs from Illustra Media that we carry, The Privileged Planet, Unlocking the Mystery of Life, and Darwin's Dilemma. And then there are the two fabulous DVDs from Dr. Carl Werner on Evolution, the Grand Experiment. Living fossils, you'll want to see those. And then Spike Passaris, formerly with the U.S. Military Space Program, What You Aren't Being Told About Astronomy. And then there's the BEL debates, Bob Debates an Evolutionist, Dr. Eugenie Scott on DVD, and a book, Does God Exist?, Bob Enyart Debates Atheist Zaketh, a psychologist. We also have two DVDs on our seminar, Does God Exist?, and then Mount St. Helens, The Explosive Evidence for Catastrophe. We also have our debate on the age of the Earth, where I got to debate a mathematician from CU up in Boulder and a geophysicist on this MP3 CD. And finally, my favorite science book, In the Beginning, by Dr. Walt Brown. Just call us at 800-8-ENYART, 800-836-9278, or check out our online store in the science department, either at kgov.com or realsciencefriday.com.